Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, I am Stephen, and you are listening to Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I am a professional tarot reader and analytical astrologer, and you can find me over at PsychicAccess.com. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'm extremely happy because I just got off of a consultation with a longtime client of mine, and something I've been predicting for a little while now has just happened. She's gotten back with her husband, and her 25-year marriage is now back on track, so you'll have to forgive me. I'm a little excited, a little happy, and I am in a fabulous mood tonight, but it's not all about me. I have three of PsychicAccess.com's most popular psychics with me tonight. Maureen, thank you for joining us. How do you help people at PsychicAccess.com?
I help them by helping you, Stephen.
Nice!
No, I
you do a lot more than that.
I got a great sense of humor. What I do, I'm an intuitive advisor. I utilize tarot as my main tool, and I'm an empath. And I have a great one here that I would like to share because it's all about me right now. But quickly, I am getting ready to leave in 5 days for Casa Comos. It's called in Puerto Vallarta. I've been invited, and she's flying me out because one of my clients I'd been reading for years, and I had even talked about when she might meet up with somebody. And she got married, and we're going to the ceremony. And I'm the maid of honor, the main honor guest, because I'm the psychic who predicted it.
Nice.
I'm really looking forward to that. Yes.
You're going to love Puerto Vallarta too.
Yes, I am.
Somebody's lucky.
Uh huh. I am. So I'm very happy. Thank you.
Very nice. Well, Maureen's definitely one of our most trusted and most popular advisors over at PsychicAccess.com. Give her a visit, please.
This evening we have Sandra Lee Serio, and I'm really excited to have her with us this evening, Stephen, because we're going to talk about the prenatal eclipse. In other words, how to better understand one's path in the world by studying the eclipse that occurred, the solar eclipse that occurred before birth. So I know it's a show that you'll be very excited by as well.
Oh, I can't wait to hear the interview, Steve. Can't wait.
Absolutely. Well, I'll introduce you with some information about Sandra right now, and then we'll bring her on and ask her all about her work studying prenatal eclipses. Sandra's a full-time professional astrologer with a master's degree in psychology, and for 26 years she wrote a weekly astrology column for the Sun newspapers in northeastern Ohio, and she has over 25 years of experience. She's worked with thousands of clients from all over the U.S. She teaches, lectures, and makes media appearances. She's also certified by ISAR and the American Federation of Astrologers. And she serves as president of the Rocky Mountain Astrologers Organization as well. So, Sandra, it's wonderful to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you with us, Sandra. We're very interested in your expertise and your research work. I originally read your article in the Mountain Astrologer about the prenatal eclipse. So I want to ask you, first of all, Sandra, if you could explain to us and our listeners exactly what an eclipse actually is.
Well, eclipses are actually, in the simplistic way that I could describe them, they are conjunctions and oppositions of a new or full moon. The difference is that we get a new and a full moon every month when the sun and the moon line up. The difference with an eclipse has to do with something called declination, the nodes of the moon. It's very technical stuff, but it has to line up not only in longitude from the ecliptic, but also from the celestial equator, north or south. And that only occurs 4 to 6 times a year. Sometimes it's 4 to 8 times a year. And that describes what an eclipse is.
Well, that's interesting for us to know. I also wanted to ask you if you could explain the different types of eclipses. So we all know that there are lunar eclipses and solar eclipses, but how do they differ? And
they differ. You know, first of all, you have to understand, if you think of the solar system. So we have the Earth, and then we have the Sun, and of course, there's planets in between the Earth and the Sun, but the Moon orbits around the Earth. The Earth orbits around the Sun. So when there's a solar eclipse, what happens is we have the Earth and the Moon and the Sun lined up together. But when we have a lunar eclipse, the Earth is in the middle with the Moon on one side and the Sun on the other side. So there's this pull of gravity having to do with the Moon, and then we have the solar influence on the other side. And that's why during a regular full moon, people get a little crazy because it supposedly affects the water level, you know, the fluid level in your brain, and a lot of things happen. There's often domestic violence. There's often more difficulty if you're having surgery, which we try to avoid clients. If it's not an emergency, don't do surgery 5 days before or 5 days after the full moon, because there's too much of a chance of something going wrong. And so to get back to your question, there's a couple different types of eclipses. The most powerful ones are total eclipses. And there's also partial, so it means that the disk of the moon isn't totally occluded, you know, by the sun. You know, I mean, it's complicated. And then there's the annular eclipses, and you just see the ring instead. And there's the penumbral, which is just the shadow. So, again, there are different types of eclipses, of course. But the total are the most powerful because they have to line up with the node of the moon. And a lunar eclipse has to be within 3 degrees and 45 minutes of the node. The moon has to be that close, or you're not going to have an eclipse. With the solar eclipse, it's within 9 degrees 55 minutes of one of the nodes. So you see the difference, why total lunar eclipses are so very powerful. And by the way, in a year, if I look at my calendar, you can get maybe 2 in a year, sometimes only 1 in a year. So they're not that common.
And can you explain to us why the ancients considered eclipses to be so ominous in terms of world events?
Well, you know, it scared them when the sky darkened, right? If it was daylight and there was an eclipse, they got a little frightened. And then they always observed that there was some kind of big change that happened different things would happen. And that's because it would affect individual charts. It would also affect the charts of certain countries and the world. So I think they didn't consider every single eclipse ominous, but only certain ones, like the total ones that darken the sky. And even today, we can look at eclipses and see where the shadow falls across the Earth. And that's where we're most likely to see some political or geographical activity, like, you know, earthquakes and things like that. I mean, not every single time. It depends on the eclipse.
It's fascinating, Sandra, that given the amount of research, the amount of validation we have about astrology, about the fact that eclipses do herald events that will occur in our world, isn't it fascinating that generally people still don't acknowledge how our lives and our world are completely somehow intertwined with the cosmos?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. But on one hand, Steve, I kind of think it's a bit of a blessing in disguise, because we'll never really convince the scientists, not in maybe our lifetimes, that this is a valid study. And if we did, then you would never get to get anybody's birth certificate or birth time or anything. So in some ways, maybe it's not such a bad thing. You know, the other thing is that I really believe that people who study astrology are a very special group of people. And if you looked up the word esoteric, people who study astrology have esoteric knowledge. They have a certain way of thinking. This is not the average person, and it never will be. Esoteric means information or knowledge that's available to a selective few. It's not available to everybody. You're a psychic medium. Not the average person can't do what you do. You understand that. And I really believe it's the same thing with astrology. Not everybody gets it. They don't see the patterns. You know, they can't grasp it. So in some ways, I think it's privileged to be able to study it, to understand it, to practice it. And again, I don't really think it's for the general population. It would be wonderful if schools taught some things about it, but because they can't prove it scientifically, right, they're not going to accept it. You know, psychology for a long time was on the same level as sort of a pseudoscience, right? That, you know, that took a long time until Freud came along and really, really tried to establish it as something scientific, which means you could reproduce the results. But with astrology, there's other factors, as you know. There is a free will factor. There is a destiny factor. And some people are more governed by the destiny, and others have a little more leeway or flexibility within that, right? They do have some choices that can change or modify the outcome of their life.
And Sandra, can I ask you, what caused you to investigate the significance of the prenatal eclipse, or the eclipse that occurs most recently prior to a person's birth?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I guess I've always liked eclipses. I've had visions of a past life I had, and in that past life, which was very ancient, I had a memory of drawing horoscopes up in the sand and showing where the planets were. And I feel in that lifetime, I mainly used eclipses as a way to predict events. And I guess it carried over into this lifetime because I've always been fascinated with them. Now, the prenatal eclipse, I always, because I'm so interested in past lives and soul purpose, the prenatal eclipse intrigued me to the point that I had a friend named Rose Lineman, and she's been dead a number of years, and she wrote a book on it, and I happened to be glancing through her book one day and realizing what wonderful information, and it hasn't been written about lately. And I think this is information that needs to come to the surface again. And the book she wrote was Your Prenatal Eclipse. It was published by the AFA, the American Federation of Astrology, and her name was Rose Lineman. And I guess once I started to study it, I thought, how fascinating is this? Because as we'll get into in this interview, Steve, you can figure out how many years you've had between births and, like, the, you know, when you died and how many years before you came back again, and what are you teaching in this lifetime? Why are you here? I mean, it's fascinating stuff.
It really is. It really intrigued me. And I find your work absolutely fascinating. Can I ask you then, how do you identify from a person's natal chart, including the prenatal eclipse, how long they spent in spirit between their previous passing and their current incarnation or point of birth into this world?
So if you know astrology, what you do is you grab the ephemeris, or you use your software program on your computer, you look up your birth year, and you find the solar eclipse that fell within 6 months of your birthday. It could fall hours before you were born, but it can't fall after you were born. So you look that up, and it could be anywhere from, you know, 5 7/8 months to, again, hours before you're born. And then you put that in now many people born in that 6 month period are going to have the same prenatal solar eclipse, but there's a big difference. And the difference is the sign it's in and the house placement and the aspects it makes to other planets in your chart. That's what is unique to the individual. So you do look at where your prenatal solar eclipse is, and then you count the number of degrees between that and the next planet in the chart, and you count that counterclockwise. And when you find that planet, those each of those degrees could represent the number of years you spent in spirit before you incarnated again. And when I do it with my clients, Steve, I find sometimes, I mean, I found it a matter of years, like a year or two, and then I found it up to 90 years. It just depends on the chart. And it's interesting to find out the year someone died, because you can go back to that year and kind of see what was going on in the world. There's no guarantee they were in America, of course, but like people who died sometimes in the 20s, you know, or like in 1929, you know, that was the crash of the stock market. So you could kind of align it with certain historical events that might or might not be significant to them.
Well, I want to ask you, Sandra, an example. It's my example, because I read your article with fascination, and you're very, very interesting, and I find your work really enlightening. But my prenatal eclipse occurred just a few degrees prior to or before my natal Mars, and my natal Mars is my worst planet. It's next to or conjunct the North Node, with Neptune on the other side of it, and my Mars is very discordant. Can you explain?
Is your Mars
under the sign
Scorpio?
Of Sagittarius, actually?
Oh, it's in where?
It's the prenatal eclipse was in the sign of Sagittarius in the third house, and the planet, the next planet over, is Mars in Sagittarius, and my Mars is extremely discordant, and then I have Neptune just on the other side of the North Node.
Well, that's fascinating to me, Steve, because my goodness, it makes
Sandra,
a lot of sense.
To me?
I'm sorry, that to me it does, that in another lifetime, with that, how many degrees apart is it that comes to Mars?
Just I think it, I'll pull up my chart. I think it was just a few degrees.
So
I'll,
maybe
I'll
so
check.
You would have died about, do you mind telling your birth year?
I was born in 75, and I've done some research on it. I think I know how I died, and I think I know who was involved through Sinistry. I think I know what happened, but I was interested to ask you, because this concept was just so interesting.
Well, so it could have been a violent death with Mars, or there could have been self-defense or something, but it does seem, or you were involved in a war or something like that. But because you have that North Node in the middle of the Mars and the Neptune,
it's not,
so what do you think? You come back here and you help people, right? You're helping people with the Neptune, with your psychic abilities. You're helping them understand about their loved ones who have passed over. I mean, it's kind of like doing penance in this lifetime, or retribution for that other lifetime. Not that you were a horrible person, but in this lifetime, the focus was very much more on the spiritual than anything else. That's how I see it for you.
Interesting.
So,
thank you. That's
yeah,
very
so your chart is quite interesting as well, with the Mars and the Neptune. However, that also gives you, I'm assuming the Neptune's in Sagittarius then?
It is, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so that gives you your psychic ability, but that North Node tells you that's the path to head down, right?
Yes.
The North Node is the harder path, but the path that brings much more evolvement to people. So you always want to... The South Node, you know, people say, oh, you have to avoid the energies of the South Node, you're repeating a pattern. But I say sometimes you have to be in that South Node to get to know who you are, but you have to leave it behind and head toward the North Node. So if your North Node is in Sagittarius, it's no surprise, right, that you've published books, that you broadcast, right, you get to the masses with Sagittarius, which is higher laws of the universe, schools of thought that expand the normal boundaries of how we think of the world and the meaning of life. So you're really fulfilling that North Node. The South Node in Gemini just says you could deal with a lot of information, right? But you have to turn it more into knowledge. You have to turn it into sort of a body of knowledge that has a deeper meaning, that's all. So it's not so bad to have the South Node in Gemini. I know you don't seem like a gossip to me, but, you know, you could say that maybe you were just very curious and inquisitive when you were younger, and you might have asked a lot of people information, and that's all fine because that became the foundation for your later works, which you're doing now. So that's pretty good, I think.
Thank you, Sandra. So, in essence, anybody out there can look at their chart, and they can get their chart on the internet, but if they look at the north node, it shows them a direction they should work towards, and they look at the south
yes.
node of the moon, it's like a little horse. They're both like horseshoes, aren't they? But if they look at the south node, it suggests where they're comfortable or where they focused in the past. Is that right?
That's right. You have to see the house it's in and the sign it's in so you can look at the expression. And here's another thing. You deal with clients like I do, Steve. So you get a client who's very unhappy. They are most likely not following their north node. If you get into the north node, you're going to be a lot happier in your life. That's because you're on the right path. And when you're on the right path, things fall into place. As I'm sure people have said to you, that if you follow your bliss and do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. You understand that because you love
yes.
your work, right?
Wonderful. So if we work towards yes. the north node, we're generally happier. We feel a sense mm-hmm. of fulfillment, of growth and reward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I want to ask you now, I wrote a book, Sandra, about mm-hmm. Mass murder and
yeah,
how...
Right.
Astrology can be really useful to understand a person's psyche, and also look at when they would be likely to take action if they were going to do something negative. And I found the whole concept of eclipses, particularly if a person's born under an eclipse, found that very interesting. I'm not suggesting that everybody out there born under an eclipse is a mass murderer, but can you
right.
help us understand whether there is a different interpretation for a prenatal eclipse that we might consider to be more positive or versus
yes.
a challenging or negative eclipse?
Well, you know, after I read that you wrote that book, so I did a little research. I think you wrote about James Holmes, right?
Yes.
Didn't you write about him? And so I ran his chart because they had a birth time on him. What
yes.
a fascinating chart.
Yeah.
And his prenatal solar eclipse was exactly conjunct his natal moon in the last
yep.
degree of Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right with his south node. So he was born with the moon conjunct the south node. And normally, with a moon-south node conjunction, normally, there might be some issues with the mother. Now, we can't say that's true in his case, but that's normally what we see, like, let's say, the majority of the time. And it doesn't mean there was anything wrong with his mother. Maybe it was his relationship to her that was suspect. But so when he committed these terrible acts of murder, there were eclipses that happened that triggered them a year before and 6 months before. So
mm-hmm.
he was born with a Sun-Saturn conjunction and Uranus, which is control issues, right? And Uranus is sort of like terribly impulsive action. You're not thinking, no forethought. And his moon and south node actually squared, or there was a discordant energy between the moon, the sun, the Saturn, and the Uranus, and even his vertex, which is a fated part of the chart. So he had like these three planets and a point, and I mean, there was like six different things, I mean, among other things. So all I'm saying is that in his natal chart, it did show that there was a predisposition to some mental disorder, right?
Yes.
Because
yep.
mania was definitely there with the moon square Uranus. And not every person has the moon square opposed Uranus has bipolar problems, it's true, but sometimes those people will be around someone who does, so they learn about it. But so in his chart, I don't know if we could prevent these things, because remember, there are how many people born that day? Of course, they're not born at the same time he is, in the same location. That's where it becomes more individual, because the ruler of his ascendant, Leo, is the sun. And the sun was with Saturn and Uranus. And you're not going to find everyone with a Leo rising who was born on that day. But there will be a lot of people in the world. And sometimes it's dependent on their genetics, their past life karma. So there are, you know, the birth chart to me shows you so much information, but you still have to consider where the person came from out of a past life and what they're really doing in this lifetime to really figure out how their life might turn out. So that's what makes the difference. But, yeah, that is a fascinating chart because these eclipses were just unbelievable. Like a month before he committed the alleged murders, he allegedly committed the murders, there was a lunar eclipse at 14 degrees of Sagittarius. That was conjunct his Mercury. Mercury's your mind. Mm-hmm. Mercury's your choices. So it's saying that there was a heightened energy that kind of set his mind off at that time. Now, on a higher evolved soul, we might find a person who writes something beautiful and gives it to the world, right? It's not always that it has to be negative. That's the choice people make. So I think they also, if you remember, because I know you've studied astrology in depth, the ancients said that people born on solar eclipses had blindness, but I don't find that to be true. Have you? I haven't really found that.
I haven't found that to be particularly indication of blindness.
That's what the old textbooks said. But mm-hmm. I have found people born within a day or two of an eclipse to have lives that are very interesting, mm-hmm. as the Chinese say, may you live in interesting times, that kind of life, where they might have had things that happened in their childhood, not necessarily abuse, but just things that were out of the ordinary for the average person. So that could be anything from discord with their parents to a dysfunctional family. So there's many things it could be. But I find people born near eclipses also tend, a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them tend to be evolved souls or souls that have some really strong lessons that they're learning in this lifetime. Maybe I should put it that way. So that's also quite fascinating. I think someone should do a study on people born right around the solar. I think the solar eclipse is the more powerful one, but I still see effects from the lunar eclipse too.
This is what's exciting about astrology. There's so much untapped mm-hmm. research to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's fascinating. And I want to ask you more about your research and your areas of interest after our break. We're just going to take a short commercial break for 30 seconds or so, and then we'll get back and continue our conversation.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Welcome back, Sandra. Well, Sandra, I was fascinated to hear about the prenatal eclipse and how that can help us to understand the lifetime that we're engaging in. Have you got some things you can share with us about past lives, how we might look at a chart and understand previous lives?
Yeah, there's some really definite techniques that do work that I find when you're trying to interpret past lives. Now, I have to preface it with, just like with you, Steve, there are certain things that are just innate, like they're easy for you to do, and that's how it is for me to look at past lives in a chart. But there are some ground rules that would help people. So the first thing you look at are squares. So if a square in a chart between one planet and another would indicate that is something that you have not mastered in a past lifetime. So that's something that's going to be an issue in this lifetime. As an example, if you had the Sun square to Mars, then you have to work on your aggression in this lifetime. And it says you never mastered that before. Now, if you had a trine with the Sun and Mars, it would say that's a talent that you have mastered, and it wouldn't need much work at all. It would just be a natural talent that would come to you. So squares and oppositions tend to be lessons that we're working on. And the same thing with semi-squares and sesquiquadrates and quincunxes. So these are all planetary aspects that show we're working on this. And then if you have trines and sextiles and quintiles, that the quintiles are often latent talents that come out a little later in life. The trines, again, you've mastered whatever the two planetary energies are as they work very well together. And the sextile says you are working on these in this current lifetime, like you're working on mastering it, so you're almost there. So you would have natural talent. Like people who have Mercury sextile Neptune often have some psychic ability, and it's pretty developed but not fully developed. So that's what the sextile means. Now, we take that a level further, which is fascinating. And if you have squares in fixed signs or oppositions in fixed signs, that would indicate that these issues that you're working on have come from many, many, many lifetimes. Like they've developed over many lifetimes. You never got it. You never learned the lesson. If those squares and oppositions happen to be in cardinal signs, it says, well, maybe they only developed in the last lifetime or the lifetime before that. So, and those, by the way, you overcome with action, with motivation, with kind of approaching it, looking at it, confronting it. Fixed signs you have to approach with ego and will and desire. Those are harder because you have to set the ego aside to master it. In mutable signs, if you have a square between two planets, it says it's an issue that's forming in this lifetime, and those are the easiest ones to overcome. So if I look at a chart and someone has Venus square Pluto, and let's say it's from Venus is in Leo and Pluto's in Scorpio, then I know that their lessons have a lot to do with how they love people, and sometimes it could have to do even with sexuality. So if I see a Venus-Pluto square, I know this person in a previous lifetime or a couple of lifetimes was too possessive, too jealous, you know, too kind of limiting of the other person's free will. And they might have, man or woman might have had, you know, sexual encounters that were superficial, right? It's kind of a bit of a misuse of that energy. So in this lifetime, they're really working on that. And so it's, you can take Venus, you can take Mars aspects, wow. You can take Moon aspects to Saturn, and that's like where people can put a shell up around them, and they're kind of afraid to express, and maybe it was from their childhood that they tried to express, but they were stifled, and so they have a guard up, so to speak. So it's really fascinating to look at these things, because it in a chart, it really helps you understand the cardinal, fixed, and mutable signs and how difficult the issue is. Fixed signs being, like if you had a grand cross or a T-square in fixed signs, we sometimes see addictive personalities. But I say to people, addictions aren't always substance abuse. There's other addictions or sexual addictions. There's other addictions that aren't as bad as that but still need some kind of balance. So you could have a T-square in fixed signs, and you could be maybe addicted to your work. And a lot of people who are authors are often, they write, in a day they might write 8 hours or 6 hours. So they're kind of addicted to it, but they create beautiful things. So as I said, you have to look at it at the evolvement of the person that you're talking to and how mature they are and how much wisdom they've gained to see if that's going to really be a problem or not.
And Sandra, even people that don't know.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just thinking, even people that don't know much about astrology can run their charts on the internet. They can see where there are oppositions and squares, and they can, you know, if it's Venus square Uranus, for example, they can look on the internet, interpretation of Venus square Uranus or whatever it may be, and they can read about that particular challenge or issue and really appreciate that that is something that they need to work hard on in this lifetime. So they don't have to be astrologers to identify these things.
You're right. But they also, you know, astrology has to be in the hands of people who kind of don't overreact to these things either. I know when you teach astrology and someone sees a Saturn cycle coming, they always think they're going to die. Well, you don't die under Saturn cycles. That would probably be the easy way out.
Yes.
But they can't misinterpret it or take it as a negative. They have to see it in the context of the entire chart, right? And you know that. But it's true. With Venus square Uranus, that's freedom and love. Those are the basic key words for those two planets, Venus, love, Uranus, freedom. So if you have a square with Venus and Uranus, maybe you want to get married a little later in life, or maybe you want a spouse, if you get married at all, you want a spouse who doesn't try to limit your activities or demand too much of your attention, because you're going to want to have friends with males and females, with people with any kind of sexual orientation. It won't matter. And so I always say, if you could study astrology, or like you said, this information is accessible on the internet, if you could do that, it's a way to know yourself. And when you know yourself, you make much better choices in life. You know, I just had a client yesterday who said to me, and I get this all the time, and you probably get it as well, you're better than a therapist, because why is that? Because we have a bigger picture of what's going on in their life. We understand the cycles. We can give them, you know, real solid information as to what's going on and when it might end or what they need to do. And I'm nothing against therapists. I have a lot of friends who are therapists. But often they have to go through extensive testing of the client. They have to go through a lot of hoops that we kind of shortcut, because you can look at an astrology chart and see the personality, right? Personality is character, and character is destiny.
Love that quote. Love it.
There it is. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to ask you again, Sandra, for people that are listening, if they can get their chart online and they can learn which symbols mean what, so which is the symbol for Sagittarius, that's all available, all information they can find. And then they could identify through the NASA website or another source when there was a solar eclipse prior to their birth. So can you help tell us, for example, some examples of the prenatal eclipse, what it means when it's under different elements, for example, so earth, fire, air, water as a starting point?
Well, if it's under the fire element, so first of all, the prenatal solar eclipse is about what you come in this world to teach or to share with others. We want to make that clear. Because the prenatal lunar eclipse, which, by the way, I have not studied in depth, but the lunar eclipse is said to be what you came here to learn. And remember that the prenatal eclipses, the solar eclipse is usually close to one of the nodes. It might be in the same sign as one of the nodes, so it'd be somewhat similar. But when it's in a fire sign, it has to do with expressing, you know, with motivating other people, with acting. You know, you're not going to sit back and not do anything if it's in a fire sign. You know, it's about spirit, and it's about talking about spirit or at least practicing some kind of spirituality in your lifetime. That's what we usually see if it falls in a fire sign. And it's also about you being able to be, again, motivated and enthusiastic about something or motivating other people, because that's what fire signs are about. If it's in an earth sign, it has a lot to do with the body, believe it or not. It has a lot to do with people watching the type of food they eat, the amount of food they eat, about keeping the body purified and clean, believe it or not, or setting that example for other people. You can also say that in earth signs, because it's the practical sign, it might have something to do with money, right? With finances, money, with, like, when people don't realize, but when you charge something to a credit card, you're making a promise to the credit card company that you're going to pay your debt. And people say, well, that's a big company, and, you know, I'm late on my payments, but you're breaking promises then. That's not the best karma to be creating. So if you have your prenatal solar eclipse in an earth sign, you want to be careful that you pay your debts, right, and that you're upfront about those kind of things, among other things. And then if it's in an air sign, it's a lot about how you socialize and interact with people. It's a lot about how you communicate with people, what you say to people. And it's also about, you know, we could say it's intelligence, but it's also about using your mind or using your intelligence in a positive way that might benefit people. So that could be people who like you do, even though yours is in the fire sign, but people who might have radio shows or television shows because they're communicating, or they're writers, but not necessarily. It could just be how you communicate with your family. And if it's in water signs, you really have to learn to develop compassion, and you have to be able to express your emotions with, as the therapist would say, and of course I have a degree in therapy myself, using I statements, right? You know, this is how I feel, not like you did this to me, but I felt like this when, you know, you said that. You know, it's using these I statements. So the water signs, you can find with people who are healers and physicians and nurses or any kind of alternative medicine people. Sometimes it's expressed that way if the prenatal eclipse is in a water sign. Because, again, you're feeling the compassion for other people. And that's it. It's kind of, you have to line it up with the other planets. But here's something to think about. Let's say that you have a lot of earth and water signs in your chart. So that's like when you think of earth and water, right? Earth, think of a container that's like a mud container. And you think the water, it holds the water in, right? So it's very safe. It's very confined. And yet your prenatal eclipse is in a fire sign, your prenatal solar eclipse. So you have to learn to sort of take a risk once in a while if it's in a fire sign. You have to learn to step out of that safe container. And that might be hard for you because you don't have many fire signs in your chart. So that would be the challenge that it brings to you.
Fascinating. Now, I know in your article, Sandra, you wrote about the key planet. So actually looking at the prenatal eclipse and then working through the chart counterclockwise, as you said, and identifying the key planet. Can you tell us more about that key planet and how we can interpret different key planets?
Yeah, you're going to look at that key planet, whatever it is. Like in your chart, you said it was Mars. You look at the aspects it makes to the other planets. Are there trines? Are there squares? Are there oppositions? If there's a lot of trines to your particular Mars or your key planet, if there's trines, then your last life maybe wasn't that difficult because the trines say maybe you learned a lot. You brought forth a lot of wisdom in this lifetime when you were born. But if it makes a lot of squares, then it might have been a difficult past life and one that had too many issues. There was too much, you know, traumatic experiences. So it tells us, that's why it's the key. It's the key to the last life. And it can tell us a lot about what the experience was or if there's oppositions. You know, I always say the thing about oppositions, squares are your own issues. You can't go blaming another person if you have, say, the moon square Mars. You could be angry a lot because you can't express your emotions clearly, but you can't blame it on your spouse or your parents. It's your issue. But if you have oppositions, somebody else brings the challenge to you, brings kind of the, you know, kind of mirrors your personality, and you want to blame them. But again, the oppositions are good because the other person makes you aware of what you need to work on in your personality. Another thing I want to add here is when we were talking about kind of past lives and mission, you can take the moon in your chart and you can look at the last planet the moon passed over. And I don't know if you understand that. And then you look at the next planet, the moon, and this is in the natural zodiacal order, which again is that counterclockwise order. And you look at the next planet the moon is about to come to, and that tells you what you're doing in this lifetime, what you need to develop, what's important for you to work on. The planet the moon last passed over shows a lot about your past lifetime as well. As an example, Steve, let's use your chart. Where is your moon?
My moon is part of a triple conjunction in Aquarius in the fifth house.
So what is the next planet the moon comes to in natural zodiacal order?
Counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise in Aquarius, later degrees of Aquarius.
Actually,
right?
My moon's 9 degrees Aquarius in the fifth, and it's exactly conjunct Venus and Mercury. But the next planet counterclockwise is Jupiter in Pisces in the sixth house.
Well, no, it would be your Venus and Mercury if they're ahead of the moon. Are they? Is the Venus is your Venus 9 degrees and a few minutes later than the moon?
No, it's 4 seconds, 6 seconds earlier than the moon.
What about
Venus
Mercury?
Venus is 6 seconds earlier than the moon.
Mercury's earlier than the moon. So the next one is Pisces then.
Yeah, and I have Jupiter in Pisces.
Well, there it is. So in this lifetime, you're supposed to be Jupiter. You're supposed to be the teacher. You're supposed to be the publisher. I mean, you're doing all of that. You're supposed to be the person who makes people feel good, Jupiter. You know, the benefactor in a sense. Or, you know, the wise sage would be Jupiter. So the last planet your Mercury passed over was Mercury, right? Because it's that close, or was it Venus?
It passed over, moon passed over Mercury and then Venus.
Mercury. So in the other lifetime, one of the things you did was, again, Mercury, almost like your south node in Gemini. We have a very similar theme here for you. So it was like you gathered the information, you might have developed skills, but they weren't used maybe on a mass level. They were used more locally or more personally. See what I'm saying? Not that there's anything wrong with that. But that it's giving you, that's interesting because it gives you the very same theme in your chart as that south node in Gemini. How about that? Oh, and then the moon comes to Jupiter, which is the Sagittarius planet. So my goodness, this is a very important life for you. Yeah, you're getting that theme a couple of different times. That is really fascinating to me.
Yeah, my Jupiter is my weakest planet, actually. It is harmonious, but it's my weakest planet. So it shows that I really do need to work on that. I need to be a good
Jupiter,
boy, right?
But Jupiter in Pisces, if you take the ancient rulerships, it's actually ruled by Pisces. You know, Jupiter rules Sagittarius, but it also rules Pisces as well. So that's not, I wouldn't consider it that weak myself, because it, you know, it's dignified in the sign of Pisces. You know, it's not unhappy there. it just gives you a broader perspective of seeking understanding in the world, which is what you do, right? That's what you do very well.
Well, thank you, Sandra. Sandra, I want to ask you about other eclipses. So we know that eclipses come in series, sometimes very long series. Is there any benefit in looking at other eclipses to prior to one's birth?
Well, not really. I mean, you know, you're talking about series. You know, there's the Saros cycle, which is just where the eclipse starts at either the north or south pole, and how it has a cycle, you know, that it produces each Saros series can produce a solar eclipse every 18 years, you know, 9 to 11 days. But what's important in the prenatal solar eclipse, and I'm so glad you brought this up, is that those eclipses will repeat every 19 years or a little less.
Yes.
So they can repeat 18 and a half years to 19 years. They don't always repeat as a solar eclipse. They can repeat as a new moon. But so you take your age, and you know that somewhere between the age of 18 and a half and 19, you can look in the ephemeris to see, was it a solar eclipse that repeated the prenatal solar, or was it a lunar eclipse, or was it, excuse me, a new moon? And it will be within 1 or 2 degrees of the original prenatal eclipse. And why is this important? Because if it's a new moon, that year could be significant, but if it's a solar eclipse, oh my goodness, that year is ultimately significant to your life. And an example I gave to that was Angelina Jolie. And we had her prenatal solar eclipse that I think was in 8 degrees of Taurus. And don't you think, it was in Taurus, 19 degrees Taurus. And don't you think that, that last year in May, her prenatal solar eclipse now, repeated itself at 19 degrees of Taurus. And what happened to her last year? What does Taurus represent? Beauty, right? Among other things. And that was the year that she came out publicly, I think a month or two before that eclipse, and said she had a double mastectomy because she had that gene that was most likely to produce breast cancer. So here we have this goddess icon that's world famous, and she had her breast removed. I mean, that was very big. And I felt with her that there was a lot of karma in a positive, good way that she did for the women of the world to just say, look, beauty is more than skin deep, because I can remove my breasts, you know, and I, yes, I can replace them and they can look sort of natural and all that. But what is she saying? You know, when you think about her wonderful message to people. Now, if that was just a new moon, that probably wouldn't have happened. But it was a repeat of her prenatal solar eclipse. And again, it happens approximately at age 19, at age 38, at age 57, which you could say, well, that's the second Saturn return, which is true. And then it repeats again at age 76, and then it repeats again at 95. So those are years that you should all look at in your life, and if one of those years is especially significant, go back and check to see, was that a repeat of the prenatal solar eclipse, or was it just a new moon? And most likely you're going to find that it's a prenatal solar eclipse, and also that's repeating. And it's even more more significant in a person's life if the one that repeats is a total solar eclipse. So coming up this year of 2014, on October 8th, we have a total lunar eclipse at 15 degrees of Aries, 5 minutes. So just for the listeners out there, if your birthday is around that date, like if your birthday is around October 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th, that eclipse is really on your birthday. And often you will see some change in your lifestyle. And you'll see it either 4 months before or sometimes up to 6 months afterward. And because it is an eclipse in Aries, if your birthday is around the 3rd of April, the 4th, the 5th, 6th, or 7th of April, that eclipse is right on your sun sign. So that's also significant. And then we have another eclipse October 23rd this year, and it's a solar eclipse at 0 degrees of Scorpio. So people born on the cusp of Libra-Scorpio, right when it's changing, they're going to have a lunar eclipse, a solar eclipse, which says there's some new direction unfolding in their life. How do we know where? You have to know what house it's in. The house will tell you where it's unfolding. The sign tells you the energy. So Scorpio is very deep, intense energy that could bring lessons to people about
sometimes
ego. It's
so interesting, Sandra.
Yeah, yes.
Sandra, it's been wonderful to have you on the show. You've got so much knowledge, and access to your website through our website as well. I know that we'll be looking up to learn more about your work and watching out for articles from you. And I want to thank you. It's been just wonderful to have you with us,
well,
Sandra. Extremely informative. Thank you so much.
And good luck with your show.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, guys, what a great interview. Did you enjoy that, Stephen?
I loved it. I loved every last bit of it. Before we get into the banter, though, if you don't mind, I'd like just to make a few announcements, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right. First, I'd just like to remind everyone that if they'd like to get more information about Sandra Lee Serio, please visit her website at sandralee.com. And that is Lee with an L-E-I-G-H, sandralee.com. We want you to stay tuned for the next hour of the show. We are far from finished here. You still have an hour to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number in a few minutes, so have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch Everly's outstanding interview on mediumship with Donna Smith Moncrief last week, you'll be happy to learn that you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Never miss your favorite psychic radio show ever again. It's all there for posterity forever. We want you to spread the archive links and future show details to your friends and family around the internet. It's our goal to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link and the light of knowledge and comfort that the link brings with others. Facebook, share it, tweet it. We need your help in letting the world know the goodness and the light that we have to share. Be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything related to metaphysics and spiritual matters for free. Everything from reincarnation to soulmate seeking to developing your own psychic abilities is there. Psychicbloggers.com. Spread the word. If you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with his or her own unique gifts. Every psychic on the site has a detailed profile for you to discover more about them. You can choose from a list of some of the most authentically gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a detailed personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, and we hope that you do, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room. We want all of you to listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And Steve, thank you so much for that awesome interview. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Yes, really interesting stuff. Really interesting.
Well, you read her article first in The Mountain Astrologer?
I did, yes. So for anybody that's interested in astrology, I recommend it. It's a brilliant magazine. It really has quite a variety of articles and information in it as well, from more simple astrology to the really complex.
Yeah, I'm always looking for ways to expand my toolkit. I think I'm going to have to pick up a subscription to that magazine.
Yep, you need it. You need it. It's fascinating. It's like when it arrives at your house, Stephen, it's like, you know, a special parcel arrived, a gift arrived. You just want to crawl back into bed and devour the Mountain Astrologer. It's just brilliant. I really, really enjoy it. I recommend it. So, Stephen, tell me, you're an astrologer.
Yes.
What did you learn from Sandra Lee?
I liked her interpretations of the eclipses. I liked the comments that she made about the past life astrology. The comments that she had, the ideas that she had regarding the eclipses' connection to the soul and the prenatal lunation's connection to the spirit. I found that to be highly interesting because that's something I incorporate in my own practice of astrology is the spiritual components of it, and that's what really aroused my interest the most.
Excellent. So are you intrigued to look at your chart and understand how you passed in your last lifetime?
Oh yeah, I've already done that. I'm pretty familiar with where I came from. I'm familiar with where I'm going, and it really makes a lot of sense to me. You know, the ancient astrologers, they had a word for the prenatal lunations. They called it the Shizugi Ante Nativitatum, which is a big fancy tongue twister that's abbreviated to the San. It's just called the San. And it's an important point in your chart. For example, we can tell whether a person is going to be a late bloomer or whether they're going to encounter their birth promise in a timely fashion just based upon the moon's behavior before birth. So it's something that's often overlooked by a lot of modern astrologers.
So what were you, Steve? Were you a politician or a hooker?
No, I was a priest, believe it or not. I performed a priestly function.
Complete
with a vow of poverty, complete with a vow of celibacy. And I'm now dealing with the karmic offshoots of those oaths, of those vows. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. When you make a vow, if it's the right kind of vow, it's going to follow you along a chain of incarnations. And so I was a priest in my past life, and my Leo sun. Now, I want to say my Pisces moon is at odds with my Leo sun. These are elementally incompatible. And so What I'm going to now, what I'm moving toward, is actually shown more by the Leo Sun, and it's not at all a priestly function, I can tell you that.
Well, wonderful. Well, Maureen, do you have any memories or knowledge of your previous lifetime?
Well, I have a knowledge of attacking you. No, I'm just kidding.
Really?
In all good ways. No.
Oh, you mean sexually?
Well, I wouldn't use that terminology. I think I was the man, you were the woman, and we were...
Oh, I was... Okay.
Yeah, and we were proper, and you wouldn't let me touch you, okay? So, anyway, so, yes, I do.
I'm fixing that in this lifetime, Maureen.
You respected his virtue, Maureen?
Yeah.
You did?
He remembers it well. He just... Yes, you know what? As far as my... through my chart goes, and because, as you know, boys... Because, you know, I am the mature one of us, this team. We should look up to the elders. But because of the fact you boys are, you know, well-versed in the astrology, and whereas I was self-taught, and I love it. But with my chart, well, Steve, well, I know it's forgettable, but not that unforgettable. But with my chart, what I've been told, just not by you boys or whatever, but also, though, Steve, I would like to say you do fantastic that you see, everybody listens, Steve and Steven too, but Steve, fantastic. What did we do? A progression for me. That's right. Anyway, in the past life,
oh,
I don't know.
Reading.
Yeah. It was very enlightening. And because I know a little, you know, I've stirred away from that 20 years ago, but the fact is I feel that, I was told one time, because my planets are harsh, they're in the higher end and they're harsh. And she's talking about some things that had to do with mental health, your guest. And there was I remember looking into my chart deeply, also with some health and physical, and it did apply to me. So I feel that could come from a past life thing too. But, you know, I don't know. You boys would have to talk about the charts and the past life business. You know, that to me, I can't really talk like a normal adult about that.
Do you believe, Maureen?
Yeah, mm-hmm. As far as like past lives and things of that nature are things that I connect to spiritually. Like I know that I have a personal connection with the Civil War era. But as far as the, you know, the planets and the astrology end of things, now I'm going to go research that stuff. But before, it just wasn't part of what I was interested in. I think because it was so... there's a lot to it, and it seemed overwhelming. But after this interview, it seems she was really good at breaking things down and explaining different things where I think I'm really going to benefit from that interview.
Yes, and the boys too are actually, we're really privy. And I mean this to Steven and Steve, because it is nice having the two of you as we're a team. Heather, it's really nice having these two because they're really good at what they know their stuff. So it's really nice that you can get some insight about that.
We have to keep in mind that astrology is very difficult because it's the marriage of mathematics. It's the marriage of planar geometry and trigonometry
to science,
to spiritual matters. And so this is difficult. Now, I want to point out that an astrologer has to keep inside his or her head an amount of information that probably swamps and dwarfs that a doctor or a lawyer has to keep available in there. The amount of information you have to know is absolutely staggering, and it takes well over a decade before one can reach any sort of true facility with astrology.
Yeah, but now they have computers. They have computers now, which is a lot different from when I was learning on my own before we had to do everything by hand.
Computers and help a lot.
Oh, absolutely. For anybody, yeah. Steve, you were saying something. You were about ready to ask me something, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was going to say to you, do you believe that we're able to influence in this lifetime the lifetime that we'll have next?
Yes, without a doubt. I don't believe anything. All I know is what I know. I know, yes. You know, I don't like to use that word believe, so yes, absolutely. And I also feel our chart, well, the astrology, I mean, I love the fact you can look at things. It just, they flow together. When I love the fact, and I use astrology in my readings, but I'm just not well versed as much as you two in the specialty of it, but I absolutely feel that we could probably, well, I feel that I know the astrology has a kind of like a, it spells it out right there in what our charts, at time of birth about that too as well, what we're here to learn.
Good. I like to think that I can influence my next lifetime, Maureen. I think that looking at my chart, well, when I look at my chart, my natal chart indicates that my last lifetime was really rough or ended very badly. Mm-hmm. But I hope that I can influence my future lifetime so that that doesn't occur again. But I have another question for you, actually, and then I want to ask Everly a question. Do you, and when it comes to karma, Maureen, do you believe that it's continuous or linear? In other words, that we're constantly improving, things are getting better or things are getting worse? Or do you believe that it's just like the flip of a coin, you know, this lifetime I may have it easy, and all the good things I've done in the past come back to me, and then the next lifetime the coin is just flipped and it's dreadful? So if you think of a mass murderer, for example, do you feel that they go into their next lifetime and have to address what they did in this lifetime, or can the coin just flip?
You know what? I don't know what I believe, but what I know, because of my own experience and things, or just feeling what I know, as far as like what you're talking about, because you know you wrote a great book, and what that subject matter is, it would depend, Steve. You know, Steve, as far as how many times this person may have gone through trying to get it right, someone that had done very bad things, right? But I don't feel it's a flip of a coin either. I don't know how long. I guess if I was God Almighty, but I know for myself, it's been taking me quite a while to get it right on something, so that karma stuff has carried on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you follow me? Am I answering? Okay.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You are.
I believe it could be a little bit of both. I mean, that's just my concept of karma and the way that I've read it and with different people, different readings, just in my experience, because I've seen kind of a vicious cycle with, you know, what you were speaking of, Maureen, like if you don't learn something, or Steve, maybe it was you that said it, are you doomed to repeat over and over and over, or how many times if you're just not getting it? You're just not getting it right. I don't think it's set up that way. Does that make sense? Like, I think it's set up to where you're at least going to learn something or some type of progression. And
so you believe that it gets better each time?
I do. I believe there's opportunity for it to get better each time, even if it's the most minute amount.
Okay. And Stephen, what's your view? What do you see when you read for people?
Well, you know, I identify with the Eastern notions of karma. I figured that they, you know, a lot of the finer reincarnation theories originated from that system, and they know a thing or two about it. They've been researching it for a very long time. And from what I gathered, there's actually a collected type of karma called prarabdha karma, which is basically all of your karma that's been collected together and it's suitable for being experienced in future lifetimes. I do not believe that, for example, when Jeffrey Dahmer passed into spirit, that his next incarnation is doomed to deal with the karma that is past incarnation just did. In other words, the concept of sinchit karma allows you to, you know, take some time off, as it were. So you don't have to deal with the karma that you generate in this lifetime in the next lifetime. Absolutely not. And the soul in between places between death and life, the soul gets to choose from a pool of collected karma, a pool of collected experiences, that which is most suitable for the person's spiritual evolution right now. And so that's what I believe regarding karma. And all of this is shown in the birth horoscope. It's all shown there. What the karma that you've generated, the karma that is has accumulated over an enchainment of incarnations, and also the karma that you're probably going to create in this lifetime and be forced to deal with in a future lifetime. It's really, really a fascinating subject. Spiritual astrology is just one of those things that really lights a fire in my soul, and I love doing that for people as well. It's a fascinating subject.
It's a big ride of a lifetime, isn't it?
It is. I mean, most of us are curious about where we came from and, you know, where we're going to. And, you know, when people find that out, when people get an idea of where they're going with it, then, you know, a lot of times they're comforted by that.
You know, it can. I do think that metaphysics provides, when it's well done, as it is at Psychic Access, it can provide so many answers, so much comfort, so much direction that makes life better.
Absolutely. It can improve every dimension of your life. And once it does that, by extension, it'll improve everybody else's life as well, because then you can go through life as a completely self-realized person, you see. And that's very important. Otherwise, without this, we're sort of like automatons, like puppets on a string being led, you know. But it's possible to separate yourself from the puppet strings, and we do this through self-realization. But unfortunately, it's harder to achieve self-realization in this world of media-driven wonders and glitzy tinsel and bunting and all the distractions that the world throws at us. These things feel like eternity when, in fact, they are not eternity. They just feel like it. Because they're bright. They're happening to us right now. They're engaging our attention, you see. But they're not the important things. And so astrology, meditation, other forms of spiritual practice, they can help you to clip those marionette strings. They can turn you from what is essentially a mule chasing after a carrot on a stick to someone who has some direction in their life, someone who has some self-direction. It's a beautiful process. It takes a while. I'm still going through it, and I question whether it's ever a completed process in a particular lifetime. Maybe it's the holy grail of spiritualism. Maybe it's the enlightenment that people talk about. I don't pretend to know all of that, but, you know, I definitely have picked up some techniques to further myself along the path and to help me attain some self-realization. That's what I think is the goal.
Interesting stuff, Stephen. Are you sure you went hooker, though?
I'm pretty sure about that. I actually have
memories of, I maybe have told you guys this before, but I've had dreams of myself, and I was walking down a street or an alleyway in Egypt. Well, there was just a lot of sandstone, and I had long, long black hair, and I knew that I was a prostitute or priestess, because the priestesses did provide services, didn't they?
They did, and in ancient Rome as well, the role of the prostitute was actually it was elevated to a sacred level. So it's, you know, the sign of Virgo captures this dichotomy very beautifully, where we have the virgin juxtaposed versus the sacred harlot. Well, you know, I'll have you know that long dark hair is absolutely my favorite. You know what I mean? I have such a weakness for that.
Blonde in this lifetime. Sorry. Go ahead.
Gentlemen prefer blondes, but I just want to kind of toss out the call in number, because I feel we're going to be taking calls here pretty soon. I just want to go ahead and give that number to folks. Hope you got your pen and paper handy. The call in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. I repeat, 724-444-4851. Each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. You'll hear the show while you wait to help you relax. But when you get on the air, we ask that you are as clear and as direct with your question as possible. We can only take one question per person in the interest of fairness to others, so please restrict your call to one question. Speaking of which, we already have a call for Everly from Virginia.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Fantastic. What's your question?
Okay, so I've been going through like a struggle this year through my marriage. And I'm just, like, going through, like, an emotional roller coaster. So I'm trying to see, where do you see it leading? Do you, because he left the home. My question is, do you see him coming back home?
To be perfectly honest with you, I do see him coming back home. But I don't really see that being in the best interest of your marriage. I see him coming back a little bit too soon. So you might want to be cautious of maybe communicating with him a bit more about what needs to be solved and the opening of the communication before mm-hmm. the two of you decide to just jump right back into the pot?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I'm not going. I have a lot of boundaries that I've been doing. I kind of feel like I've been a little selfish, you know, because he's just like up and left and left me with everything. So I had to sue him, you know, I had to do for me and my kids. So
yeah, you need to keep that line.
I have guidelines.
He's got a lot of work to do, and you need to let him know that.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
You need to let him know that he's got a lot of work to do, and until he can prove that, he cannot come back into the home, and that's because I see him trying to come back. I'm just trying to give you a warning that if he comes back too soon, it's just going to be the same vicious cycle.
And that's what I don't want. That's what I'm saying, because I've put guidelines down. You know, I've sued him, and I'm just like, look, you know, you have to, you know, man up, be a better father, better husband, have to go to counseling. You know, we have to get help, because you just can't sweep the issue up under the rug. It needs to be resolved. And I'm just holding my being too hard.
Yeah, it can't be fixed. You have to be resilient, and you have to stand firm and just keep at it. And don't let him back in.
I'm being hard on him. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
I said, you just need to stand firm. You're doing the right thing. But don't let him come home until you can 100% say things are good. You can come back.
Okay, that's what I was fearing of. I was making sure that I was like, oh, my God, you know, I know the kids miss him, but I don't want him to come back home unless our marriage is going to get better. I don't want him to be worse.
You let him back too soon, it's only going to cause more damage.
Okay, but, so just keep doing what I'm doing, make sure he has boundaries, and just make sure that he knows that if he comes back here, there's going to be restrictions. We're going to go to counseling. It's going to take time.
Exactly, and stand your ground. Don't let him sway you.
And my ground. Okay, thank you. I was just making sure I was doing the right thing, because I am being hard.
You are totally on the right path. Just stay on it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Everly. If you would like Everly to get under the hood and help you fix your problem, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Right now, I have a caller from Ontario. Hello, Ontario. How are you? Hello, Ontario.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good, and yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. How may I help you this evening?
I just don't know where to start. I'm going to start with my love life, and what do you see my boyfriend and I in the near future or distant future?
All right, let's see what's going to happen over the next course of several months here between yourself and your boyfriend, okay? One second while I pick up on this situation. Okay. It seems to me like you guys are in the long term, over 6 months, like you're headed for a good area, okay? So the long term scope of this is headed for a very positive thing. However, in month number 3, we might as well round up to June. So around August, September, the end of summer, I would expect there to be some problems. The reversed number 7 of the water element tells me that there's probably going to be some fights. He might, you know, there might even be a separation. If that's the case, I would not expect it to be a permanent separation. The month after that, again, going into the autumn, I see that you are actually going to be playing the role of a peacekeeper, a balancer, a harmonizer. And this makes me think that you're going to be reacting to that, you're going to be trying to fix that problem that's going to be in late summer. You're going to be reacting to that. The Two of Swords in the month following that is an icon of working really hard at making the relationship work out. And then finally, the timeline that I'm looking at here is showing that, in fact, the enthusiasm that your partner has for the relationship will indeed increase. So the next couple of months, I actually expect those to improve, especially the month of, I would say, July to August. I would expect that to be a fairly decent month, but August to September, I'm not feeling too great about that one. August to September, I would expect probably the worst of the problems to occur. I don't think it's going to be permanent in its scope. I think you're going to get a chance to fix whatever's wrong. In fact, I'm quite sure of it. But whatever the problem is with this relationship, your partner is going to definitely make it void. He's going to make it known in late summer, early autumn.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a caller for Maureen from Florida.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello. Hello, Florida. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
My name's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm ready for you.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to know what you see coming up for Dan and I.
Okay, for Dan and Lisa. Okay, Lisa. You know, because this can be an open, I could get so much information, and because I have my time restraint with the readings, could you give me more of a direct, like, because maybe you're wondering if you're reconnecting or things are going to get better, because it'd be helpful for me to help you. Because
yes, will we be reconnecting?
Okay, thank you.
Will things get better? That's a good idea.
So reconnecting things. Okay, yeah. What I do see is this. I am seeing that. For you absolutely have taken you, which is great. You look like the one who took back your personal power with this whole situation. I see him charging towards you, and what I mean by that, he seems like he's a pretty assertive person. He can be very aggressive at times, and that can be very hard because he looks like he has issues, and that has nothing to do with you. And he has maybe some anger, but he looks like he does not want to lose. He does not want to have you gone and forever, but I do feel within the next 4 weeks and into a 4-month period, things are going to get much better. I do see that he's gone through some pain, and he's almost like, what's the word I'm looking for? He's accepting that instead of fighting against it, because he's been so good at fighting against what's going on with him. And again, this has something not to do with you. It's something within his inner self, you know, stuff like that, which is pretty intense, but redirecting at you for so long. I feel that when he is going to start coming back, you're going to look very, you're going to be suspicious, like concerned about, well, really? Is this going to be the same thing again? And I know you've been waiting for this to be right. There's been a lot. It's been difficult. This has been very difficult. He's a good person, but he's been difficult and harsh. It's hard. I do feel that there's a potential here, and I do see, and it's unusual because most of the time this may not happen. You too, but what I am very happy to see, Lisa, is that you have taken back your personal power, and you're no longer going to be lost in his stuff. If that makes sense, I hope that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, and so what I do feel is, I see within a 4-week period things will be a little bit better, and then within a 4-month period. But I do feel by the first of the year there's going to be a hard-earned victory. But keep your boundaries in place. Very important. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I do feel that anybody else would say otherwise. I know it sounds silly. I see some really positive results coming from, I know it sounds ludicrous for other people who would think you're stupid or whatever, not being with him. Hang in there, okay? But keep yourself protected, okay? Thank you, Lisa.
You're funny.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Thank you for calling, Lisa. If you'd like Maureen to give you a reading, please contact her at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Maryland for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Maryland?
Hi, this is Chris.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
Okay. I was calling because I've been having a lot of personal experiences, as in dreaming, and they seem to be coming true. And I was just wondering, is there some way to embrace it or shut it off?
Well, I do believe that we are in control. So, yes, we interact with spirit, our own spirits on the astral plane, and with other spirits. And that's the way of the world. But I do believe that we are able to influence the extent to which we do that. Are you finding that your dreams and your experiences with spirit are pleasant and you want to encourage them? Are you finding them more challenging?
I would like to encourage him if it is real, or am I just imagining it? But, I mean, it's hard to say that I'm imagining it when I tell my husband what happens when I wake up and the next day it happens, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't believe that you're imagining things. I I believe that you've got a good psychic ability, but I don't feel that you know yet how best to work with that or be in control of it. So I feel that really the best approach for you is to really learn about your ability. And you know that in the metaphysical arena, there's psychic ability, there's sensing something, or there's a precognitive ability through the dream state. You might dream that something occurs and then it does. But then there are systems or tools like tarot and astrology. So I feel like you really, you have this ability, this gift. There is another female in your family that has this gift. Do you have an aunt?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, your aunt has an ability, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And you also have, I'm not sure if this is, I don't think this is the name of your aunt. I think this is a lady in spirit, but you have a lady in spirit whose name begins with E. And I hear the sound E at the end of it as well. It sounds like Everly or Emily. Do you know of this lady in spirit? She's on your mother's side, not your father's side.
Older woman or a young?
Sorry?
Would it be an older woman or a young
yes.
woman?
I feel she's older.
There
and
is
I don't
an
feel
Anita.
You met her.
That's all I can say.
I didn't hear what you said, actually.
Anita?
No, I don't think it's her. This is another lady. Look at the family tree, and you'll see that there's this older lady. I don't feel that she was married, actually. I feel that she's your mother's side of the family. I feel she's two or three generations above your mother. But she is also somebody that has
grandmother.
Had a great ability,
yes,
does.
My mother. You should tell me about her.
Yes. Now she's a guide to you. She's somebody that is somebody that watches over you and helps you. And certainly you can develop this ability and you can help a lot of people. You just need to really learn about metaphysics, and there are ways of doing that. You know, you can look at the Psychic Bloggers website, for example, has a wonderful information about metaphysics. There's so much information on there. And then look at good quality information in the public domain. The Church of Light, for example, is a wonderful resource. So I feel like this is something that you should nurture, you should encourage. You have this ability and you should develop it and put it to good use in the world. I don't feel it's something for you to fear.
Okay, and I was going to ask you, I've been feeling like sick lately, and do you think it's coming from that?
No, I don't. I don't.
No? Okay.
No. I don't feel like you should put your, if anything, your spiritual development will strengthen health. And now there's a little girl as well. I want to just mention to you before we move on to the next caller, there's a little girl in your life that will also have a very strong ability. I feel that at about the age of 5, you will see that she really does see very clearly. Do you already have a daughter?
Yes, and I've already felt it with her.
Yeah, so she part, you see, when as you develop your ability, then you can help her to do the same. So you've got a great ability, and you should master it, put it to good use, okay?
Okay, all right.
All right, we wish you lots of luck.
I appreciate it very much. This is what I've been seeking for a while now.
Good. Well, we wish you all the best. We're with you.
All right. Thank you so
much.
Take
care. You're welcome. Okay. Bye now.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. If you would like a reading from Steve, please contact him at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Pennsylvania for Everly.
Hello there. Who's calling from Pennsylvania tonight?
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good.
Good. What's your name?
Penny.
Penny. Hi, Penny. What can I help you with? What's your question?
I am leaving a job. It's a very draining, very unhappy place, and I'm leaving without another one. I told him I would do the right thing before I got mad and walked out, but I gave my 2 weeks notice. I'm just wondering, is there another one coming? I mean, I've had several interviews, and I haven't seemed to have landed anything yet.
You have never been the type to really go without having something, and I think that's why you're stressing so much about this. Yeah. You're a hard worker. You've got a huge work ethic. So I think you're kind of out of your comfort zone as far as leaving without having something already to go to.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to worry about that, because you might have a couple of weeks between the time that you leave your current position after your notice is up and the time that you start something else. But you're going to need that couple of weeks. And when I say couple, I mean firmly, I think just only two. I'm pretty confident about that number two. So maybe 2 weeks, and you're going to need that, because for some reason I'm getting, is there a physical move around you as well? Like maybe recently?
Well, it's possible that I could be moving back to my farmhouse if the divorce is settled.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you're going to need that 2 weeks, and for some reason it's telling me that it has to do with a physical move as well. Okay? But I don't want you to think that you're going to have to go a long stretch without having any type of income, because you're not. Okay?
Go ahead.
I was just saying I would love to revisit with the physical move, because it's coming in so strong, and when it does, usually spirit's kind of pushing me to kind of pull that puzzle piece into what you're asking me, but I don't have the time during the free readings on this show. But there is that part of it that's going to go on, and it's tied into that 2 weeks, and they're telling me you're going to need that 2 weeks to kind of absorb and take a breather.
Okay,
get your mind settled, that type of thing. But you won't have to worry about, you know, not making your bills, not being able to support yourself. You will have something, but you're going to have about a 2 week gap.
Okay. I mean, this job has been that bad that I just felt the need to do the right thing and just.
Well, yeah, and leave. You were guided to do the right thing. I don't feel like you left anything behind that really is going to harm you. You're moving towards change and a positive change.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind.
A
lot of people take
steps
out over, you know, they get highly emotional and they just leave. And I have to tell them, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You know, that would, you should have just, you know, let the emotions settle. But that's not the case here. You have to move forward in so many different ways right now, and it's coming in steps. So you've taken that first step. It was a wise choice. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So even though you've stepped out of your comfort zone and kind of put in your notice without having anything already set up, you're going to be fine.
Is there a field or a direction I should look at?
Are you in office management of some type already?
Yeah.
Okay. The job that I see coming towards you is going to be much larger scale, but I see you moving more into money, like in the controller type position.
More like banking possibly, or?
No, not necessarily banking. You could still be, I still see a company, but maybe you're not just, you don't have so many, like an office manager handles bits of everything around the office. I see you focusing more on company finances, that type of thing. So this job that you're going to go into, you're going to go into doing the things that you're familiar with, but you're going to grow quickly into a more specific place within the company. And it's going to build on your skill set.
I'm assuming I'll find this on the internet, or...
You may have already found it, or they may have already found you. The connection's already there. I don't know if you just haven't gotten the phone call yet, or maybe it's an email that you've sent and they just haven't seen it yet, but the connection's already been made. You just may not have heard from anyone yet.
I have an interview Tuesday. It's not an insurance company, though, right?
I can't be sure of that. I think you might get an offer from the insurance company, but I can't really tell you whether. No, I don't think it's going to be them.
Okay. Yep.
I really don't. I think they might give you an offer, but I don't think that that's the company that I'm getting.
Okay.
That's going to be best for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Everly. If you guys would like a reading with Everly, please find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from California. Hello, California.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you guys doing?
We're doing fine, thank you. How may I help you this evening?
Yes, I wanted to know about my finances, what you see for my finances.
All right. Let's see what we have here. One second while I pick up on your financial situation, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I tell you what, right now you're definitely in the grips of some pretty important financial changes. And this is shown by Trump number 20, which is ruled by the moon. So this might be uncomfortable right now. You might be feeling a pinch right now because the changes are always uncomfortable, especially when they deal with the financial life. However, I feel quite strongly that the changes are actually for the long-term good. I actually see that 3 months from now, financially, you're going to be doing a lot better. You're going to have more income for disposable luxury types of things that you like, creature comforts. But more importantly, 3 months from now, you're going to have a more solid financial footing. You're going to have increased material security. Really, the only fly in the ointment that I'm seeing right now is month number two. So we're in June to July roughly now. So around July to August, month number two, July to August, I do believe that either some long-term financial deception is going to come to an end, or maybe somebody might be trying to, you know, it might start. So in other words, somebody might try to cheat you. I'm actually inclined to think that a long-term financial problem might actually be coming to an end next month instead of just beginning, simply because the month after that one is quite positive. Do you see what I mean? So to what it's looking like for me is that, A, you're undergoing some pretty, I don't want to say severe, but significant is a better word, long-reaching, significant financial changes. Not sure if this is a change in your attitude, financial attitudes, or a change in your behaviors, but for the next 4 weeks or so, the changes will definitely become more evident. And even going beyond that into the second month, I think that a long sort of season of financial irresponsibility or financial problems, I think that season will be coming to a close. And this is evidenced by Trump number three, which is the Empress, a symbol of abundance, prosperity, and security, which is going to be coming in August, September, towards the end of the summer. So financially, things are definitely going to improve in about 8 weeks for sure. And you'll see what I'm talking about the closer you get to it.
I'm supposed to get a settlement. Maybe that's what you're seeing coming in August.
It quite possibly could be. About all I can tell you for sure is that the third month from now, so we're talking about in 8 weeks or so, I can tell you for sure that in eight weeks, your material security is going to be a lot stronger. You're going to have a lot more disposable income for the things that you want in life. So that you mentioned that you're expecting a settlement. It would not surprise me at all if that settlement happened in the third, you know, 8 weeks from now or around there. Keep it in mind, this isn't an MRI or an X-ray machine. You know, it might be off by a week, might be a week earlier, a week later, something like that. But the long-term implications are what's important to me. Material security. See what I mean? I think to me, that's what's the most important here in this situation, because this is a very stable sort of energy. If you've been experiencing any fluctuation or any uncertainty about your financial life or your ability, the continuity of your finances, that should vanish by the end of the summer, by around August or so. Okay, it's looking good to me.
Yeah.
It's looking good to me. Now. You know, I got to tell you, the Trump number 11 is the card that made me say, maybe you know, a cycle of poverty or a cycle of deception or something is going to become a cycle of financial deception is going to be coming to a close for her. However, it could also represent people who are trying to get your settlement before it even posts. I'm sure you're going to notice all the stuff that's going to start coming in once it gets closer to the settlement coming in. You're going to have your friend. You're going to have a lot of friends. You might even pick up some relatives you didn't realize you had. You see where I'm driving with this? You're going to have to watch out for that. You're going to have to protect yourself from that. Parasites, you're going to have to shake them off your hide. You're going to have to be careful of that. But it's not. I don't judge this to be a really big, huge problem because the energy is very weak. And indeed, it could represent, you know, some long-term problem that's actually coming to a close as well. Definitely, the bright spot in this is month number 3. And it all just makes sense to me because this month is shown by Trump 20. The sarcophagus, it's a card on the face of the card. I wish you could see it. There are three mummies being summoned out of a coffin by an archangel. You know what I mean? So this represents the ending of like a confining situation. Do you see what I'm driving at here? That's why I said, that's why I made comments about you know, big, long-term, significant changes. This is what's happening. It's almost as if you're going to be summoned out of that living stasis. Okay, so it's all looking pretty good to me, and I expect good things for you financially, especially after the 3-month line, okay?
Thank you. That was so comforting to me to hear you say these things to me. I really appreciate. What is your name?
My name is Stephen, with a PH. Not that it matters, but hey, this is just your fate. I don't have anything to do with it, you know. Thank God, thank yourself. This is just it's your time, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Stephen. Yes, I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful night. Namaste.
Yes, ma'am. Namaste to you as well. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay. We have a call from Massachusetts for Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Massachusetts.
Hello.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
My name is Stephen.
Oh, another yet. Stephen. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. And what can I help you with?
Yeah, I'm trying to get access to my inheritance in England. My grandfather left and left. My grandfather died and left property money in England and the Caribbean. And for some reason, I can't seem to reach it.
Okay, so what's your question? Because, you know, I want to make sure I can help you as much as I possibly can, and this is a little bit complicated. So can you put this into more of a direct one question, like, so I can help you the best I can, like, is there another option that you can try to make this happen, you know? Do you follow
when
me?
When will I so get I can... my inheritance? My grandfather died and left me.
Right. And so what's your question for me about that?
Do you see me getting my inheritance my grandfather left behind for me?
Okay. So do I ever see you getting it at all? Although he did leave it for you. So that's the important thing. Okay. I can work with that. Okay, Stephen. You know, what I'm seeing is this. This looks like it should have... We're still right now in the late spring, going into the summer pretty soon. I do see that you have a really good opportunity to try whatever it is you didn't try before. If it didn't work before, to reach out. I see a female energy is very supportive to help you with this. I don't know. It's just I see female energy, not male energy, but there's a supportive female surrounding this that I do feel that if you can... let her, between the two of you and her support, I do feel it by, it's like right before the summer months, I do feel that you'll have a crack at, I guess with a word, another crack at trying to make this work and get it done, because I do honestly feel that there's some very, you know what, there's some legal stuff that's very not, it's almost like there's been some unfavorable legal something going on that you're not aware of. And I feel that you need to really get, or what I'm seeing, you really need to get to wherever it needs, you need to get some more information. This female is a really good support. Like I said, there's something going on. I see another couple. There's something that you're not clear about, this taking it on, and it's unfair, totally unfair what's going on here. And it has to do with, you know, the people, family, other family members. So whatever you haven't done that you could, another option of making this happen or finding out more information, I really suggest, or I'm encouraging you to go for it. Because if not, this whole thing I'm seeing here, the way I read is every negative can be a positive. There's some unfair justice going on in the legal system in this. I see that it's imperative that you get your eyes are closed. You need to open your get your eyes opened. So with that said, if you have a female that's very supportive of what's going on with you in this, she is a good ally. And it might be a family member person too. So if you can get, I know that you're not where you're supposed to be, where the England, and you're in the, where'd you say, where are you located, the Caribbean?
I'm in Massachusetts.
Right.
And this is in the Caribbean and England, two places.
Okay. My feeling is that what I'm seeing is you need, I'm encouraging you, I don't like to tell people what they need to do. I'm encouraging you to physically get to where you need to be closer to what's happening with this. And I feel that you could turn things around. If not, it's going to be difficult because somebody's already gotten in there and started doing things they don't have to tell you about. I think, you know, my feeling is you know this stuff already, perhaps, you know, that you might have a, because there's something going on why you even asked me that question. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm having dreams and people had visions of my grandfather signing paperwork.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. What were you saying? You what?
People are having visions of my grandfather signing paperwork for me.
Okay. Oh, you mean this isn't even a fact that you have this?
I do not have it yet, but I know of it.
Okay, well, this is interesting because that is, other people are telling you there's visions of grandeur. Do you have a grandfather that died?
Yes.
Okay, so it wouldn't be too far-fetched that could happen. If your grandfather died, go to the location where he is at and where he was last time before he died, meaning wherever he's located or buried or whatever, and check it out what's going on. That's what my feeling is. I'm seeing you need to go, physically go and check it out.
Go and talk to him.
Pardon me?
I need to go and see him. I need to go and talk to him.
Well, if he's passed away, your grandfather, right?
Well, he comes to me in my sleep.
Okay, either way, go. That's great. So you're having visitation dreams. Utilize those. That's fantastic because it's almost like that. You got a great support system there. Go to where your grandfather last lived and where he died. Go to that location and the energy of that location where other people would be. It's important. It's very important, and he's probably coming to you for that reason. Do whatever it takes, you'll get there. You need to go.
Yeah.
Okay? I hope I helped you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. If you would like a reading from Maureen, please find her at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from California for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from California?
This is Sarah.
Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Good, Sarah. How can we help you?
Well, I tell you, I am 53, just turned 53, and I just want to see what's on my horizon this year. I keep on thinking things are going to get better, and my job hasn't changed, and love life is null, and that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, the first thing is I feel actually that you've had a tough time in the last 6 to 12 months. I feel that there's been some heartache, there's been some upset for you. And I feel that at the current time you're steady, you're on the right path, but I feel that you have had some disappointment in the last 6 to 12 months that you almost underestimate. So you're the kind of person that's very optimistic. You're always really encouraging towards other people. You always look great. You always make the best of yourself, but you don't always reveal what's going on beneath the surface, or less so than most other people. And I feel that you're ready to make changes. I feel that when I look out to the future for you, I feel that there is some more disappointment, but it's in the next 3 to 4 months or so. And it feels associated with a friend or somebody that has upset you recently. And when I say recently, I mean the last 6 months or so. Do you know who that person is?
I think it's my daughter.
Okay. Well, I want to say to you, you've managed the situation well, but you mustn't underestimate how much that's upset you, how much that's unbalanced your life, your happiness. But I don't feel that process is over. I feel that there is some more disappointment, and I feel that you need to be a little cautious, a little reserved, you know. And if you do that, then I feel that you'll get through the situation okay. And I feel that actually in about 6 months, the world really opens up for you. But I don't want to say to you, oh, you know, it's going to be rosy as of tomorrow. There's still
right.
There are still some issues to be resolved there. And I feel for you because it's not really easy for you to resolve them. You're not really in control of that upset, that dynamic, that disappointment with your daughter. She seems to be. And so you've got to look after yourself. You've got to protect yourself and do what's right for you rather than just doing what's right for everybody else's, which is your tendency. And if you do this, you'll find that things really open up for you and there are some wonderful opportunities for you. I do feel that there's a gentleman that comes into your life in the next 12 to 18 months. And he's a gentleman that's successful, you know, that's done well for himself. He's well established. He's really got his head screwed on when it comes to business and his business affairs. And I feel that there can be a really nice relationship for you. So as you work through these challenges with your daughter, these disappointments, don't be downhearted, because once you get beyond that, there are some wonderful things coming for you. Okay?
Good. All right. Well, thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome. Wish you lots of luck.
Well, God bless. Be well now.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. If you would like a reading from Steve Frampton, please find him at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Florida for Everly.
Hello there, Florida.
Hello.
Hi. Who's calling from Florida tonight?
Julie? Yes.
Okay. What's your question, Julie?
I'm curious. I'm worried about my dad, and I want to know, like, he's been sick lately, and I think he may pass away soon, but I wanted to know, do you think he's going to need help, like, before he passes, or do you think that he'll be okay?
Your dad can be a stubborn man, can't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he might need some help, but you're gonna have to be really careful about the way you go about the help. So, because he's not gonna take it willingly. I mean, it's gonna have to be literally, this is what's gonna happen, Dad. You need it, and here it is. So just suck it up. He's a fighter. He's been sick. Has he been sick for a while?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's really just trying to just fight this back. I think he's got more pep left in him than maybe a lot of people think, maybe even including you.
Okay.
So I wouldn't get too down on the, he can surprise you at the last minute, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I do think at some point, yes, he's going to need some outside assistance, but I see it more as like maybe a day worker for a few hours a day or maybe a few hours in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he might actually like this person, you know, after he gets over the whole, I don't need help, but I guess I have to take it anyway. So it's going to be good for him. So, I mean, I hope I'm giving you some comfort, because, I mean, the message that I'm getting most clearly is his strength and the fact that he's been fighting it for a while and he's not quite done fighting. Did you have another question that I didn't really get to answer?
Well, I mean, so you're saying that he has like a few more years left then?
I'm not comfortable on giving a timeline on this. Timelines can be very tricky, but what I'm saying is I think he's got more fight in him to outlast what people are expecting right at the moment.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Okay, so, you know, whatever timeline you're thinking, does it go within the 6-month mark, what you were expecting?
Oh, I don't really have an expectation. I just know that I went out with him last weekend, and he was very sickly. And
yeah,
I just feel like maybe he's not much left.
No, he's got a bunch left. So I wouldn't worry too much. I think that it's in your nature to worry, especially about him. But I really don't. I mean, we're always going to worry about.
I mean, I know he might have a few. He might have like more months left, but I mean, he's pretty terminally ill, so I don't think that'll be here for another few years. It might be like 6 months.
No, I don't. Like I said, I'm not comfortable on giving timelines. I'm just saying that whatever timeline he's been given, or whatever timeline people have it stuck in their minds as being, he can't possibly go any longer than this. He'll surprise you.
Do you know when he's going to need that help in his house?
I would say the next 3-4 months. But like I said, in the beginning I don't see it as being anything more than someone just being there to help him with certain things, making sure that he takes care of himself in certain ways. And then maybe a little bit farther down the road, he might need more intense, more around-the-clock type care.
Okay.
Okay?
Huh? Oh, okay. Yes, thank you so much.
You're so very welcome, and just keep the faith. He is a fighter, and you know that, so just let him fight. It's what he wants. People can tell him 2 more months, and he's thinking, I'm going to prove you wrong. So just let him do what he's going to do.
No, I wasn't thinking any time frame, but when I saw him last weekend, I was like, wow, you're really sickly, you know?
Mm-hmm. And even statements like that to him are kind of like a challenge. Do you get what I'm saying?
I didn't say that to him. I didn't say that out loud. I just thought, wow, you're really going downhill.
Right. But I'm sure you're not the only person that sees it or maybe shows concern. I just feel a strong sense of him fighting and wanting to prove people wrong.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Miss Julie. I hope to see you back next show.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
Okay, good night.
Thank you very much, Everly. Thank you for calling. Julie, we want you to know that all of us here at Psychic Viewpoint are sending our positive energies out to your father. We wish him much comfort and hope everything turns out well for you. This brings us to the end of a truly brilliant and illuminating show. Thanks a lot for that, by the way, Steve. I loved every second of it. I'm sure our listeners did, too. I'd also like to thank Doug C., our producer, who works behind the scenes to make the rest of us look great. Thanks to you, Doug. I'd also like to thank Maureen and Everly for adding their special light and talents to our show tonight. And most of all, thanks to you, the faithful listeners, for joining us each and every Thursday night and making Psychic Viewpoint such a wonderful place to be. Next week, I will be interviewing Nikki Scully, a healer, author, shamaness, and priestess, on the topic of spirit allies. And with that, I would say good night, everyone. From all of us to all of you, we wish you prosperity, health, and happiness. See you next week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.